long month, a long June without it. We got NWSL week 14 action that happened. Welcome into Attacking Third, everyone. Presented by CarMax. Shop, buy, and sell your way. Want to drive CarMax. So we are running through everything NWSL, the recaps, the takeaways. Of course, our team of the week is back. We'll have a player interview joining us live. I mean, it's Sunday night. This is what we do with McCall Zerboni and Jen Beatty. I'm Lisa Carlin. McCall, it's so good. It is so good to be back. We're cooking.
I know, right? I mean, at least we had something to do, watch some World Cup games. But without the NWSL, there's nothing like it.
There is absolutely nothing like it. Full disclosure, we're going live Sunday night. There are some World Cup games on. I may be taking
No, you don't.
Are you going to be peeping? Don't
I
be peeping
to.
On me.
I'm
just going to go rewatch the whole thing. I don't even want to take a look.
That is why you're an exceptional host, Lisa, is because you can multitask. Okay. Not in a million years, because I was so tempted, but no, I have to be locked and even try and get my words out. But credit to you, multitask, having stuff
we'll
on.
We'll see how it goes in the next, 40 minutes, how distracted I get from this game, because the games were crazy today. Like, Norway, guys, Norway, Erling Haaland, are you kidding me? They're through.
He's a beast. I will say, watching all the World Cup, a player still playing the NWSL, I would have been desperate for this weekend to kick off, seeing the amount of games and watching the intensity of it. Even as a retired player, I felt like that. I'm like still desperate to try and find a pickup team. So I'm happy all the girls were back today, but yeah, we're into knockouts.
I know. I will say it's been pretty neat, like running into new soccer fans like here in America that have come to watch the World Cup, and I'm explaining to them, yeah, like our women's professional soccer league here, we're on break right now, timeout, because basically all these countries are using our stadiums and our training facilities, so we took a break from games because we are sharing them with these professional men's countries that are in the World Cup. And so for them connecting those dots, and it's been a really cool thing to like explain and for them to understand, like you can see their eyes light up and as they're just learning more and more about soccer. So I'm like loving the new soccer fans that are here in America that have come to watch. It's been so great.
McCall, so me good. Too. And I keep telling fans, I'm like, just wait till next summer, because our U.S. women's team, we've already won 4 World Cups. We're favorites to win again. Like, just wait. It has been so fun, this World Cup. But guys, it was even better to have the NWSL back. We had every single team in action. And let's talk about it. NWSL match week 14 after a month-long hiatus. Everyone was off for the month of June. Everyone got a mandated CBA break. And then a lot of other teams got a couple extra days off. Coaches went home to visit their families, as did players. They went on vacation. International players went away with break, but then they were back. Let's talk about some of these games, because you could have thought, okay, through the first 13 weeks, I understand how everyone's going to play. No, after watching the games this weekend, everyone is like taking left turns out of nowhere. Angel City took down Orlando Pride 2-0. Allie Centenor made her debut in this one, McCall. We had Angel City, of course, get this much-needed win, but under an interim head coach with Leof Schmierud, if I'm saying that correctly, who comes in, and they pick up Allie Centenor, and now they get a win. A huge play by Angel City over the Pride.
And we talked about this in the past. We've seen two personalities from teams, one before the break and one after the break. So it's like, what kind of identity are you going to ensue for the remainder of the matches in this season? And some of them have stayed consistent, but some of them have completely flipped and become like a new personality. And I think for Angel City specifically, they looked so much better in their key roles. And that for me was Centenor. She fits this club so well, and it's exactly what they needed. They needed a good dribbler on the ball that operates in that seam too, in the underbelly, underneath, in between their back line and their midfield. She loves to dribble, and that's exactly what would complement a Jan's daughter, setting her free, allowing her to run in behind instead of having her to check back for the ball. Just keep stretching the game, which then in turn makes more space for Allie Centenor to kind of dribble and dance and create in there. And they just needed a more creative midfielder in that attacking role. Ari Borges is a destroyer. She can break up plays. She's good with her positioning. And then just give the ball to Centenor, let her run, let her create, and then combine with Jan's daughter. And then Endo can now play on the left side of the pitch where she's naturally used to with her left foot. And so now everyone is in their key roles and highlighting their strengths. And I think Setnor has completely flipped this load for Angel City.
I hope so, because she deserves it, right? This is her now third club in about three seasons. I want Allie Setnor to find a home. And frankly, watching her play with Angel City, she looks like she might have a home here. We'll see. To me, this may have been a fluke to some extent on both sides of it. Angel City picking up this win, the great performance by Setnor and Jahnstadter. I'm not convinced by Setnor yet, because it's only been one game and she hasn't been convincing at Utah or at KC. I need to see more. Honestly, I was worried about Orlando. Mm-hmm. They had nothing in this game. They looked lackluster. They didn't have a lot of energy going forward. Jen, do you think without Banda, it's Orlando can't do anything right now?
I mean, I wouldn't go as far as saying can't do anything. I feel like that's but in terms of losing
last year,
I was gonna reference last year, because I think that showed everyone how big of a miss she was, and just how much of a threat is taken away from when a player like Banda. But don't get me wrong, she would be missed in every single team she plays for. She's that good. Mm-hmm. And this is where depth of a squad has to come into, because if anyone gets injured, they have to be replaceable. But yeah, in terms of speed up top, runs in behind, ability to hold the ball up, bring other people into play, it was just, yeah, absolutely lacking. But you would think, though, that Orlando would learn from last season and have a solution, and it just wasn't quite there. She is a huge miss. So, you know, I hope they figure it out, bottom line, because coming out after a break and a loss that, you know, you're expected to get something out of, but it was such a clear miss, I think, to everyone.
Mm-hmm. And that's a quality point. You already did a brief period without her last season, and we thought you learned your lesson that you need to go get another striker, someone else that can add to that front line to be dangerous, you know, because what if Banda does go down again? And, you know, props to her, but I mean, the fall from Banda to Doyle, who's not a number nine, and she's all of a sudden having to play in an unnatural position for herself as a center striker, and like, that's the depth that you have in that position. That's a problem. You need to go get other players who can be a number nine for you, a true number nine, and play that role.
It's a great point about Orlando. They have time. They have a chance to turn things around, figure it out. Meanwhile, a team that came out of this break and said, we are brand new, take a look at us, Chicago Stars. They took down Utah Royals 3-2. Utah Royals came into this match on a 10-match unbeaten run, and the Stars, of all teams, snap that record. Jordan Huitema, she scores a brace. Sam Staub with a stunner of a free kick. And it's 1-1 at the half before Chicago runs away with this game. Jen, this game was unreal. Did you expect that at all from Chicago? Because I didn't, frankly.
No, I think this was the result of the weekend, if I'm honest, in terms of an unexpected result of the weekend. I credit to Chicago. They were, you know, having a really rough season coming into the break, and Utah were doing the absolute opposite. They were overachieving, exceeding everyone's expectations. So for that to be the result coming in after the break, I'm like, credit to Chicago again. Different manager, you know, a lot of people saying it's hard to see their philosophy, see their style of play, but I think getting a player like Huitema, obviously, you know, plenty of braces over the weekend from different players, but those are the kind of quality that need to step up in big moments. So this is a huge confidence boost for them. I'm excited to see where they go from here. I hope they build on it, because for a club that's had a really tough time, tough identity, tough, you know, trying to watch them and trying to figure out what they're trying to do has been, you just see the players like know that they're struggling with it. So for them to come in after not many games, so many playing up against each other, we all know what that break feels like. Coming in and having a win, I think, was huge for them.
I got to speak with Mallory Swanson ahead of this game. I was on this game for CBS Sportsnet, and she talked about how the team came back from the break, and it was like, the past is in the past. We can't do anything about the first third of the season. We have 18 games left to play. That is a lot of games. That's a lot of points we can pick up. We can still make the postseason. Our season is nowhere near done. And they all were blank slate, saying like, this is a reset. let's go. They looked like it. They looked so confident, Chicago. They were on the same game plan. It didn't matter that they were playing an unbeaten team that's on an incredible historic streak, that's third in the table, Utah Royals, that frankly could be pretty scary if you think about everything Utah had coming into this match. It was like Chicago said, this is our day. We're ready to go and we're going to run away with it. And they got it. Picked up 3 points, climbed their way up the table, 3-2 over Utah Royals, a big one. We just came off the Portland Thorns racing Louisville game. Thorns with a massive win. So we've got a special guest joining the show. Stick with us. It's live interview on A3 Sunday nights when we get back. Hey, welcome back to Attacking Third, presented by CarMax. Shop, buy, and sell your way. Want to drive CarMax. We are coming off the game Sunday night, Portland Thorns over Racing Louisville. It was a dominant 4-0 win for the Thorns. So we are so pleased to welcome now into the show, Raylan Turner, one of the goal scorers today for the Thorns. Hey, Raylan, welcome in.
Hi, how are you guys?
We are great. Even better now that you're joining us. Holy cow, what a statement win for Portland. What a job well done. I mean, coming into this game against Racing Louisville after the break, what was like the vibe, would you say, of Portland to come out with 4-0?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I can speak for all teams across the league. We've all been missing games, so definitely a build up to this game. Obviously, we know how last game went against them, and we were hungry for more, and we knew that we were more than capable to come out with a win this time. And I think that we all just worked on certain things that we needed to work on over this break to come out and get the result that we got.
What's it been like? Because you touched on it there, the break and how long it was. Having watched the World Cup, I'm sure you'll all over it. What was that for like? Because even me from as a retired standpoint, you know, I would be desperate to go play pickup. But what was it like for you guys as a team, having watched all that football and just that feeling of being desperate to get back out there?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it definitely brings more passion into the locker room. Like, you know, we got so many internationals rooting for their teams, and there's definitely some rivalries in the locker room. But just the passion of, you know, rooting for different countries and like you said, like that want, that desire to get back on the field when we see we're watching games at the very highest level on the biggest stage. So just coming out with that hunger and just wanting to do our very best. I think that this team is very hungry and we're definitely ready for this next half of the season.
Raylan, it seems like y'all are vibing really well in the Thorns locker room. You guys get along really well. It's amazing. You can like tangibly see it on the field, but I'm sure it was kind of nice to get some of your own personal time for the summer break. So what did you get up to during the break? Anything?
Oh, it was so nice. I just went home to Laguna Beach. I was just with my family and my friends. I feel like it's been a while since I've been home. Like the San Diego and the LA games were both like midweek games and I couldn't stay. So it was definitely nice to be home for like a week and a half. It was like a dream come true, but yes, yeah, excited to be back for sure, but definitely enjoyed my time at home.
Yeah,
that's so nice. You could go home and be with family and just get like a nice little reset. I got to ask about this goal though that you scored, because my gosh, take us through it. What'd you see on it on the goal? Unwrap it for us.
I mean, I feel like everyone knows what Soph can do. And I saw her faced up and I saw her look up and I knew that she was going to play it. And we've been working, me, her, and Pietra, for the past couple weeks, we've been working on that early cross. And I just knew that she was going to play it. And all I had to do was just redirect it. And I think that also plays a part into chemistry, just things that we work on in training, translating the things. But yeah, I mean, very grateful for that ball. But yeah, it's a great feeling scoring at Providence. So I'm very grateful.
It was crazy to think at that time, you know, it wasn't even halftime. And I wanted to ask a little bit about the conversations at halftime, because even though the scoreline was very much in your favor, you know, they'd hit the crossbar a couple of times, had a few chances. Was that a conversation going into the second half to be a little bit more conservative, play the game out? Or was it very much stick to what we're doing and we know we'll get the job done?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like obviously first half we did well, but I think a couple of things we could have worked on better was giving up fouls, top of the box, second balls, and then just when we do win the ball back, retaining it, whether that's the first, second, third pass. I feel like we needed to keep the ball more. We noticed that their style of play first half was more direct. So if we could pick up those second balls and get them on transition, we caught them a couple times. And so, yeah, moving into second half, obviously 3-0, we knew that we were the stronger team, but just fine tuning those things to make sure that we can finish out the game strong.
I thought your goal was exceptional because that's not an easy ball to finish. And you just had to settle your feet to hit that first time. It was a very long pass from Soph. It was kind of whipped in, kind of bouncing a little bit. And you just were able to connect with it really well, hit it first time. Great finish. But we've seen great things from you even in your rookie year last year. So is there something that you specifically wanted to work on or get better your second season here with the Thorns and in the league that you've been kind of putting a lot of effort into?
Yeah, I feel like a big thing for me is like decision-making in the final third, whether that's like taking players on down line, getting crosses off or cutting inside, shooting, laying the ball off. Just I feel like that is kind of like a chemistry thing though, knowing who you're playing with, knowing what certain players like. But yeah, I feel like this year we have players coming back, we have chemistry building. And I think if we can, well, we see that coming into place right now, which is really exciting, but if we can keep building off of that, I think it'll be a really good year for us.
Raylan, you guys just picked up a win. Where's the celebrations tonight? What's the
team? Gosh, I'm trying to watch the Mexico game.
Aren't we all?
I'm excited to watch.
Yeah, okay. We'll let you go to that one. What about the U.S. game tomorrow? What's the plan?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I might just chill at the house, invite some teammates over and see if we can all watch it. Maybe barbecue because didn't really do anything for the fourth. So maybe we'll grill and watch the
cooking?
Game.
You know,
I'll cook. I'll be on the grill.
Let's go. Like what kind of meat you do?
Just some dogs, some burgers.
What time should we be there, Raylan?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Okay, good, good. What do you think about Flo Balogun and his red card? And now he's
back. My gosh. I know. I saw that when I was parked. And I honestly, like, started tearing up. I don't know why. But, like, I thought that it was so unfair with how they gave him that red card because it wasn't allowed, how they reviewed it. So I'm glad that they fought FIFA for it, and I'm honestly so excited to watch. Like, he didn't deserve that at all, and he handled it with grace, but he definitely deserves to play. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, the whole team really handled it with a lot of maturity. So how far can this U.S. team go?
I know. Yeah, we'll see. We're in for him.
How far can they go? What's your prediction?
Oh, you're asking me. I think we can go one more round at least. Like, I think we have a lot of momentum. I think that, like, the whole country is really believing in them right now. And I feel like they definitely came out to prove, and they've proved a lot so far. And I want to see them go all the way.
Ooh, I love it.
What do y'all think?
Hey, Bailey, you have a long career ahead of you playing, scoring more bangers. But when you're done, give us a call. You can come join us.
I will.
100%.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
On the dub. Congrats on the goal. Go watch Mexico.
Thank you. I will.
Appreciate it.
What a joy. What a pleasure. And who knew that he was, you know, cooking on the grill?
I appreciate that. She wasn't even Teak and Peeps, you know. She was locked in. So
she's unlike
took her away from that Mexico game.
What's the score, Lisa? Yeah. Lisa, it's what's the score?
Scoreless. It's still scoreless.
I keep seeing you peeping at the screen right in the corner.
No.
Love it.
All right, give me some thoughts, Jen, about this Portland Racing Louisville. I mean, we just heard what Raylan had to say about this game, but Thorns 4-0 over Louisville. Is this what you expected?
Super dominant, I will say, from start to finish. I kind of love what she said about the chances in the first half because Louisville had them. I think the crossbar, Emma Sears looked really sharp. But ultimately, I mean, Sophia Wilson is absolutely phenomenal. She's just, from her finish to her ball play, her bringing her first touches to bring other players, in, like talk about final third quality, and she's just that in a nutshell. I thought Portland were brilliant. I thought they, played some really good patterns of play, kept possession really well, fully deserved the result.
Yeah, look really composed under pressure. Top all-round performance, I would say. So, yeah, I think it was expected.
Good one. Shouts to Pietra Tordin, too. She had two assists and a goal in this game.
Can I say also, I do think Rachel Hill coming on at halftime was a great shout. I thought her runs in behind was much more positive because they were struggling a little bit in that sense. So, good to see her get some good minutes.
Yeah, Hill gave a good lift. I played with Rachel Hill, like, for summers between college playing, and she is the same player as she was when she was 21. She has so much energy. I'm like, how are you running in behind? I can barely get off the couch. Oh yeah. Yeah. So much. But I'm saying, like, energy wise, the way she gets in behind, the way she's all over the pitch, it is so impressive to watch her. Huge win by Portland Thorns. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. More A3 after this. Welcome back to Attacking Third, presented by CarMax. Shop, buy, and sell your way. Want to drive CarMax. Let's wrap up some of the action from this weekend. Denver Summit took on Kansas City Current. It was a very lopsided score for an expansion team that had kind of been cooking prior to the June break. And Casey ends up with a 3-0 win over this one. Bethune, Cooper, Shawinga, they're cooking. What do you guys think about KC in this Denver game?
I mean, first of all, 27 goals this weekend. So nobody worked on defending during the break, that's for sure. No, it was honestly just the weekend of individual brilliant performances. There was four braces, you guys. Like,
that's
four
a lot.
Players that scored two goals in one game. Like, that's a lot. I would beg to differ if that's ever happened before in history. Cooper, for me, I just think she does not get enough credit. And I know she's been a little bit quiet more than she has been in the past, this last little chunk. But I can't wait for her to get going, because I think she's going to be very important for our nation moving forward. I want to see her on the World Cup team next summer. I think she is that valuable. Her ability to pass on crossing in the wide spaces, for me, is one of the best in the game, because she can pick somebody out. She can, you know, cut it back with pace, top of the box. She can whip it behind in the six, behind the back line. She can chip it. She can stand up at the back post. She can drive it. She can bend it. And it's always on a player. It's not just like a hoof ball into the box, like praying. She picks somebody out and she's able to apply the technique for it to reach her player to get a chance on goal. So that's what I really love about Coop. And now I'm excited for her to get these two goals and it kind of be about her. And then back to the Setnor variable. They look better without Setnor, because now Croy has the room to roam around, and they're not occupying the same spaces. They were kind of similar players that want to be in similar spots, but now we remove Setnor, and now Croy can just cook. Let her do her thing. Let her be where she wants to be and use her mind and her skill in the spaces she wants to be without anybody in her way. And I think she's been a very positive outlying variable since Setnor has left.
Yeah, that's a really good shout. What did Darian call her? Swaggy on the call? Darian was on the game call for this case.
They say Swaggy.
Swaggy.
I think the biggest thing for Casey was a clean sheet for me. I think struggled. Yeah, just last season I absolutely loved watching them defensively from back to front. So to see them concede the goals they have done in this like opening half of the year, I was so surprised. And don't get me wrong, it's against Denver, but you still have to respect whoever you come up against, right?
Denver's been really good this year at
school. I love Denver.
But for I'm meaning from an expansion team standpoint, I think they have been brilliant. They have been great. But I still think that's a really important clean sheet for Casey.
Yeah, it is huge for Kansas City to pick up that win. Around the ground, some other things that happened across NWSL. Spirit. Oh, you want to talk the Wave? All right, let's talk Trinity Rodman for a second, though, because we talked
about this so much.
We're going with triple espresso here. Trinity Rodman, she had a brace for Washington Spirit in their big win over Houston Dash. It was huge for her. Some really good goals by Trinity Rodman. She looks electric. So we hit on Wilson, Trinity Rodman. Okay, let's talk San Diego, Jen. This is what you want to talk about, because
they just looked so good.
I
they looked I would say they look the best team coming off after the break. And I thought they're, again, talking about patterns of play. I thought the way they controlled the ball, the goals they can score. Gotham's a good team. It was probably the biggest head-to-head, if you're talking top half of the table. Huge win going forward. Gotham looked a bit vulnerable defensively, but I think San Diego Wave made them look like that. Yeah, incredible goals, great all-round team performance. I think they just looked on it. They looked sharp. They looked connected. They knew exactly where each other were. Their first touch, 1-2 touch play was just so good. I've already called the other game the game of the weekend, but that was up there. I only get one.
Into the weekend, this San Diego Gotham was supposed to be the game of the weekend, and I was very disappointed in Gotham's performance. They have struggled to score this year, guys. Defensively, they're Loctite, right? And it would only take a San Diego Wave team to really break them down. A San Diego side that said, okay, we don't have to have 90% possession in this game. We can go a little more direct at times if we need to. We're going to rely on our teenager, Melanie Barcenas, to score some bangers. But Gotham can't score. They cannot score. They are desperate for someone to just come in and own the box, because Esther hasn't done that this year. And Sam Kerr is on her way. She can't come soon enough for this Gotham team.
Yeah, but at the same time, San Diego, okay, we previewed this weekend's games on Thursday. We talked about how this was the biggest matchup. Why? Because it's basically number one versus number one. Who's sitting at the top of the table right now? San Diego. And who dominated last year and won the championship? Gotham. So this was kind of like a flex 1v1 for me. And it was like, who's really going to kind of stake the claim and kind of show after the break who's going to be there in the end? San Diego looked so good, and they made Gotham look like a bottom of the table team.
Yes.
And that's what concerned me. And what really screamed to me while I was watching is Gotham struggles a lot in transition. A lot in transition. Yeah. That's where they're most vulnerable. If any team goes forward quickly on them, they cannot turn and run and catch them, and they're completely off guard. If the whole game is in front of them, Jess Carter, Sonnet, they got that. They got that unlocked. They can organize it. But it's fast. If it's turned over their head quickly, they're scrambling. Yeah. And that's the way to beat them. And that's exactly what San Diego did. They went forward quickly, caught them off guard, and they just took risks. San Diego was brave. They put Gotham under constant pressure. They were taking risks, taking chances. I mean, Mel was shooting from like 10 yards outside the box, left foot, right foot, like just taking chances. And so
wide open,
Gotham
wide open
on their heels the entire game.
I do agree with you on that, because it was not Ljubmila's chance that came from another transition. And you know,
it could have been 3-0.
It could have been 3, yeah. But in terms of not
Ljubmila
recovering.
Had a wide open net. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a fair point. A very fair point.
Yeah. I was a little worried about San Diego coming in without Dujinha, because she was just on such a tear before the break, and she tears her ACL with Brazil during the June international window against the United States. And were they going to be able to fill that gap? And yeah, San Diego's stacked enough. They can fill that goal scoring gap.
Barcenas.
So good.
So good.
Well, and it's like a kind of similar thing. Maybe Ljubmila and Dujinha were a little too similar, trying to occupy the same spaces. And Ljubmila just needed more space to roam, and she's stretching the line. She's running forward quickly, running wide. And then now all of a sudden you have Mel streaming through, and, you know, even Ascanio streaming through, and Corley. It just seemed to really be functioning well for San Diego.
Yeah. Huge, huge win for San Diego and a shutout. So they climb their way to the top of the table. Last one that we have to touch on, North Carolina Courage. We got some, for me, heartbreaking news ahead of the weekend that Menaka is leaving the club. Mm. She's going to England. But then Ashley Sanchez said, "Don't worry, Lisa, I'm here. And I will continue being a magician for North Carolina Courage." They take down Seattle Reign 3-1. A brace from Ashley Sanchez. We're talking about young players. Riley Jackson, she puts one away from the spot for North Carolina Courage. Sally Menti had a great goal for Seattle, but too little too late for the Reign. Are we worried at any point about Seattle yet, guys, or it's still early and we're going to let them go?
I was thinking about this, right? Because I knew it would be a topic of conversation. And I'm worried for them in terms of, poor result again, but they were in the game for 60 minutes. And that's the part where I'm like, you still have to take away so many positive from it. So I'm not, I'm still worried for them. Yes, I am, to answer your question. I'm worried for them, but it's still coming down to such small margins. I'm like, you're still competing. You're still in it. And then it's just lapses of judgment, lapses of concentration. So yeah, I'm worried for them because they're not getting the results and it's been a big break, and to come out with that result's not great, but you were in it for 60 minutes.
You're in it.
But that's the only reason they are in it, is because Laura Harvey is a great tactician and she puts together amazing game plans. But I was worried about Seattle from the offseason. They did not make enough player movement for me. They didn't get enough goal scorers for me. I was very concerned about them from the beginning, and they're still having trouble scoring and generating things in the attack. Sure, they can congest you know, the midfield and the back line with their game plan to kind of make it difficult for the opponent. But at the end of the day, you can't win games if you can't score goals, and they don't really have anybody that's doing that for them.
Yeah, exactly. So Seattle, they dropped to 11th place in the standings with the win for San Diego. They're at first. Portland second, Washington, Utah, KC, North Carolina, Gotham, and Orlando round out our top eight. Welcome back, NWSL. And because we're back, that means team of the week. Take a break and then stick with us because we're giving it to you. Our best 11 right after this. Welcome back to Attack and Serve, presented by CarMax. Shop, buy, and sell your way. Want to drive CarMax. Now, I blew up my spot at the start of the show saying that I was watching the England-Mexico game. Everyone in the chat is blowing it up as well. They're giving us the scores before I even see it here. I'm on a delay or something. So chat is locked in.
Thanks, guys. You're blowing the game for us.
Yeah, McCall and Jen said they were going to watch it back. Everyone's ruining it for them. No. I mean, hey, if you're not watching it live, what are you doing, guys? Well, you're doing A3, so thank you. It is everyone's favorite time of the week. It is time for Attacking Third's Best 11 of Match Week 14. We're going to run through every single position, and we'll start with our forwards. Jen, you're taking over the goal scorers for us.
And McCall touched on it earlier, the amount of goals that came over this weekend, and I got the honor of doing the forwards. So don't come for me if I miss anyone out, but also let me know. Starting with Trinity Rodman, had to. Started strong, so many goal scorers were in fine form, but so many players looked sharp. She was definitely one of them. Sanchez, another brace for NC Courage. Again, great finishes, right place, right time. This is where I might struggle because I'm between Cooper, another brace for Casey, but Barcenas goal, I can't leave her out.
I mean, okay, what if you drop Sanchez into the midfield? Could you do that? You'd have to partner with McCall on this one.
McCall, do you have midfield?
Well, I coincide because she was on my list, so you got great. It.
So she's in your midfield.
Uh-huh.
Okay, fine. Right, Barcenas gets the call up then. And what finish? Because I was worried for Jadina's injury and who was going to step up. And oh my goodness, the goal, incredible. The way she receives it, sets herself up, what a finish to beat a brilliant goalkeeper from that distance as well. So I'm glad, okay, it's worked out really well. They're my three.
A couple of times. She did one earlier this year. Like, Barcenas whips out these bangers from her back pocket when no one's expecting it. I love the shout to put her on there. And you had to have Cooper. You had to have Michelle Cooper.
Yeah, I may have gone with three wingers.
That's okay. That's fine. Quality wingers in this game are vital.
Yeah. I like it.
Okay. I love that.
All right, McCall, hit us. What do you got for your midfield?
The cover was blown a little bit, but Sanchez, like, I'm seriously obsessed with her lately. You guys, she's second on Golden Boot race. She is two goals away from Banda, and she might just catch her if Banda can't come back. And it's not even that. Like, she just is scoring brace after brace, carrying North Carolina Courage, just finding a way to get it done. She scores in a variety of ways, right foot, left side, you know, wherever she is. She finishes first time, takes two touches, she'll whip them, she'll bang them. I just love that. And she also is in third in shots on target. And it's behind Banda and Sophia Wilson. Like, she's actually creating quality chances for herself on frame very consistently. So it's not like she's getting lucky or like, oh, I shot twice, score twice. No, she's hitting a lot of shots on frame from variable places all over the pitch. So she's been really, really impressing me this season so far. And I thought the break was going to maybe be like, you know, congratulations to her. She got engaged. And I was like, you know, maybe she's going to take her foot off the gas now. She's a little distracted. Nope. Comes back and scores too. So go on with your bad self, Angie Sanchez. Don't sit up. We're enjoying watching you. Sanchost, in and out, box to box. I thought she had a really quality game in the midfield for the Spirit. Her defensive positioning. Mm-hmm. And also, she just was really quality in joining the attack. She almost scored that one in the 73rd minute. She you know, joined the attack at the right time, a late run into the box, and almost hit that. And she's just delivered great balls into the box and just creating a lot for the Spirit. So I have to shout out Santos, even though she didn't score, but she did assist. That deep ball to get Trina her first goal was just outstanding. Beat the midfield line and the back line. The vision to spring Trina forward was exceptional. And then Torden, a goal and assist. I have to put her in my midfield and mention that. I mean, she has come this season ready to ball out. Remember at the beginning, we were like, wow, she is the Port and Thorns right now. Now that Sophie's back, she's kind of sharing the load with her. But she has been sharp since the first whistle blew of the very first minute of the 2026 season. And then she also was very good today. Goal and assist. Torden, shout out. Yeah. Those are my three. You go, girl.
Yeah, love that shout for Torden. The chat was like wondering where she was in our front line about Torden. We have a lot of forwards.
I know.
Guys, we can do whatever we want. It's our team of the week. No one else's. Yeah, really good shouts, McCall. I love the shout for Santos because I think that could go underrated. I think honorable mention, Croy Bethune. I'm going to throw her in there. Mm-hmm. I think plays so well. She had two assists to set up Cooper. Like, Cooper doesn't score those goals without Bethune threading the needle to find her. But I like your three. I do.
So you got Lise?
I got the defense. Y'all ready for this one? This was hard. I got to start with...
Yeah, because that one got scored on a million times.
Yes. McCall.
Who did well with three goals against.
The defense was kind of in shambles at times this weekend, but I got to start with Sam Staub because a bullet from just outside the 18 on a set piece, I did not think Staub was going to take that set piece. I thought for sure Mallory Swanson was going to take it. Nope. Clearly Sam Staub has been working on that one because upper 90, an absolute beautiful strike by the center back. I'm also going to go Tara Rudd, another center back out of Washington Spirit. Really good performance against Houston Dash. I mean, she has come into her own as a center back, and it has earned her call-ups and consistent call-ups for the U.S., and she just continues to climb with what she's doing, and she's getting so much more adventurous and clean on the ball when she takes the space ahead of her, and her decision-making is great. So Tara Rudd. I'm going to go Jaden Perry because she scored for Portland Thorns. And when we get a defender goal, like, we roll with it. So congrats to Jaden Perry. And then I'm going to go Kennedy Wesley out of San Diego for organizing everything with San Diego Wave and dealing with some changes in the personnel beside her because Trinity Armstrong came back and had not played a lot of minutes this year. And she slotted right in so seamlessly with in that back line. So Kennedy Wesley, these are all center backs, but what do you think?
Oh, Team CB. I love it.
No. I think it's impressive because usually outside backs have a larger opportunity to impress because they can get forward and like do stuff like that. But two center back goals, let's just talk about that. Yeah. That's pretty fun this weekend. And CBs. It's a very
unique
position.
When there's lots of goals, you just got to go for the defenders on the winning teams that either contributed or countermeasured really well or organized really well, because that's what it's about. So
exactly. And that's definitely where I came up with some of these guys. Goalkeeper.
I liked your reasoning. As a defender, I liked your reasoning.
Thank you. I know. I've got a tough crowd. You guys are both semi-defenders from the call. She's defensive midi. Honorable mention is my goalkeeper, Jane Campbell, because she had some huge saves against Washington. She saved a penalty. She was on her feet. I think there was three really big moments in this game for Jane Campbell. But unfortunately, you get the L. You're not necessarily going to make it on the team of the week. So I'm going to go with Kaylin Sheridan out of North Carolina Courage because she was tested in this game against Seattle. And not all the time, not consistently. And I think for a goalkeeper, that's really tricky when you're not always being constantly tested. And Sheridan came up big for the courage. What's up, Jen?
Sorry, I did put my hand up there as if I wanted to get in. Just if I could segue, she's my captain of the week.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
for,
that.
For all of your honorable reasons, I thought from a being tested organizational standpoint, she was my captain. Just, you know, if we wanted a segue to captains.
And really good job. Clearly you're not watching the game because you can just segue us right through this.
Oh, yeah, no. Is it not halftime yet? Halftime anyway.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, I'm locked in.
Yes, seriously. Someone in the chat is also giving some love to Luisa Agudelo, who was the starting goalkeeper for San Diego Wave, who played her first NWSL minutes. I did think of her, but she wasn't really tested as much against Gotham. So I do like that shout. I like Kaylin Sheridan as our captain of the week. Did you have another pick, McCall, at all?
No, I think that's huge. I think could have been a shaky week losing one of your biggest generators and creators in the midfield. You know, that it seems like they just got her and then now they lost her. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you finally got a good thing. So just to lead the team on through that and still find a win, I think, is a great shout out.
Also, honorable mention and shout out to Groovescapes in the chat, Jordan Hoytema.
Yes.
No honorable mention despite a brace. We see you in the chat. Yeah, yeah. I agree
with that.
Too many players with braces.
It was a good weekend for that.
It was a good weekend.
Well, I'm going to give Chicago some love with my nomination for Coach of the Week. I'm going Martin.
You're the same brain.
Corcoran, because you do not take a pitiful Chicago Stars team and turn them around like that without putting in work in your 2 weeks that you have off, no games to reset with this group. And Hogren did that with Chicago. And he had some players coming back from availability that were healthy and could actually play, which provides more competition and training. And he kind of used that as leverage to get the best out of these players, to motivate them. They looked confident. Chicago looked great, guys. They looked great against a good Utah team.
Yep.
What I loved is they looked like they were having fun. Yeah. And I think that's really hard to put a positive training environment out there that's not too serious when you're bottom of the table. And, you know, it looks like they had fun over the break. Mm-hmm. And he put a good energy into the group and to believe in themselves and enjoy their football. And that's not easy when things aren't going well for you. So I like that. I co-sign that a lot.
Well, that's also hard when you're professional players and you're still trying to win games. You care about your career, you care about the club. So, yeah, to still be able to look like you're having fun within that tough pressure environment, credit to him. I couldn't agree more. At least he was my pick as well.
And to have the mentality to say, all right, clean slate, let's move forward. There's still a lot of season left to play. That's not easy to do at all. Chicago did it. Congrats to them. And our coach of the week, Martin Hogren. This is it, guys. Final thoughts, McCall, Jen, before I let you go watch the second half?
No, I was just thinking a lot of matches still to play and a lot of A3s still to go.
Hey. A3s. We got some good ones planned coming up for you all. So stay tuned. Our next show for Attacking Third will be Thursday, 11 a.m. You know where you can find us, right here on YouTube as a podcast. Sometimes we're on Galazzo Network too, all the places, bringing you the latest news, the transfer window, but previewing NWSL week 15 to come. So that's Thursday, 11 a.m. Today's A3 was presented by CarMax. Shop, buy, and sell your way. Want to drive CarMax. Thanks everyone so much for hanging with us on your Sunday night. I have missed you all. It is good to be back. Giggsy wants us to stay and do a watch party for the second half of England-Mexico.
That would actually be fun.
It would be so fun.
But we can't.
Go over to Galazzo Network. They've got you covered with the pre and post. We've got Janelle Farias on this game talking about Mexico, who is a friend of our Women's Champions League coverage. Poppy Miller's talking about England on this one. Go watch Galazzo Network. They'll get you covered for this one. Thanks for hanging with us, guys. For Phil and Adriana, McCall, Jen, I'm Lisa. This was Attacking Third. See you Thursday.
Paramount Podcasts.